reading a celebrity pastor's blog posts or listening to a famous Bible teacher and something jumps out to you and you're just like, how am I the only person seeing this thing? Why isn't anyone talking about it? Well, you're not alone. Welcome to Underdog Theology. This podcast is about looking at what's happening in evangelicalism. I'm talking tweets, I'm talking books, blogs, videos, all of it, and judging it according to scripture. Whether that's reacting to celebrity pastors, teasing about the latest ridiculous battle in the culture war, or just having a little bit of fun together, this show is for all the folks who feel like they're on the outside looking in, who feel like they don't have a voice, who feel like they're an underdog. Welcome to Underdog Theology. What's up, everybody? How is your Wednesday going? Wednesday? Why is this show happening on a Wednesday? Well, there are some reasons. Mostly you could hear it. You could hear it in my face. The pressure, the congestion. But you know what? I'm not here to whine. I'm here because I have something to say. I feel like I'm about to cut like a WWE promo. That's not what I'm doing. All right, we're going to be talking about Kevin DeYoung today. I have some thoughts. I have a lot of thoughts. If you've already been on my Twitter, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Oh my goodness. Let's just get into it. You know, hop into the chat, all that stuff. Hit the like button if you're here. And maybe every once in a while, if you're in the chat, maybe remind some people to hit the like button. Because it's November. It's November and all the wackos are out and they're burning everything. You know, like they're just like lighting couches on fire. They're just whatever. They're going out in fields, lighting those on fire. They're lighting up Elsa, right? They're going after Elsa for some reason. So just let that be in the back of your mind that your boy's going to get shot at a little bit for this. And I don't care. Like at this point, I really don't care because these guys are psycho. They're psycho. And even this week has proven that beyond a shadow of a doubt that all the people, I am going to be as bold as you've probably seen me on this topic today. All the people associated with Moscow are theologically insane. All right. Practically they need to see some counselors. All right. Cause there are some things going on with this and people being like Kevin DeYoung is the worst. There are people right now who are like, I can't believe Kevin DeYoung went at our guy, Doug Wilson, like that. How could he? And I got to say, this is the softest that Kevin DeYoung could have gone at Doug Wilson. Or he might as well have not even written this thing. All right, we're gonna be talking about all this. We're going to be discussing it. We're going to be looking at, you know, what he actually said. But I just want it said right off the bat that if you're one of those Doug Wilson fanboys who is just hurt over this and, oh, how could Kevin DeYoung go at our mood and like trying to like act like you're being persecuted or something, like tons of them on the internet, I just got to say, like, grow up. Like this is you guys go at people all the time, call them out by name, say like harsh, even like Kevin DeYoung will point out in the article, some pretty gross, nasty language. You know, I feel like Captain America right now. Language. That's basically what Kevin DeYoung is doing in this article. But like you guys do that. And then for Kevin DeYoung to write what I think is like, I mean, just the easiest thing in the world to condemn. He's like, I guess I could do that. And I don't know what Kevin DeYoung was even trying to accomplish with this. Because while there's good things, and we will point out some of the good things in the article, like this is not a harsh condemnation. This is more like a pat on the back and like, come on, you could do better. That's what he's really saying to Doug Wilson. And so if you guys want to check out after, like, all right, you got my thoughts and now you're just ready to go on. I get you. But we're going to dive into this article. I do want to say hi to a few people. All right, we got Reformed Pilgrim hanging out with us. We've got Tim LaBurge hanging out and says, hit the play button first. And then Brian's here. Careful, Kevin DeYoung is my boy. You're Kevin DeYoung's dad? Skate says, hey, y'all, I'm working, but I'll try to keep an eye on the stream. I know, it's a weird time. This is just the way it has to be today. So sorry. I wanted to get this in here. Oh, no. Brandon, what? Father, son, and Douglas Wilson. It kind of seems like that's how some of these guys treat him. We got RJ here as well saying, hey, y'all. All right, let's get into this stuff, okay? So we've got, even though that was working perfectly before. All right. So even though we've got, you know, a flamethrower here. Oh, I wonder how long it took him to find this image and to get this thing together. But this is from Kevin DeYoung on his website that I'm not going to make fun of. Although I really, really want to. All right. I'm going to be taking a lot of drinks today because my throat is like the Sahara Desert. It's basically what I can compare it to right now. But I want to do it for you guys. All right. Or as people on Twitter want to say about me, for the clicks on this non-monetized channel. I'm all about the clicks, apparently, because, you know, there's more clicks in Doug Wilson than there is for Mike Todd. Ridiculous. All right, but on the website called Clearly Reformed. Oh, I said I wasn't going to do it. Clearlyreformed.org. On Culture War, Doug Wilson, and the Moscow Mood. All right, let's just read for a little bit. We'll see how my voice does. Each of the great world civilizations, you know, an article is going to be gold when we start off with such grandiose statements. All right. Oh, I'm going to have fun with this. Each of the great world civilization, Christopher Dawson, wrote in his classic work from the 1940s on religion and the rise of Western culture, has been faced with the problem of reconciling the aggressive, I'm sorry, did you fall asleep? All right. The aggressive ethos of the warrior with the moral ideals of a universal religion. But in none of them has attention been so vital and intense as in medieval Christendom. You notice the words that he's using. He's already starting to use the Christendom language. I'm going to get my phone out and make sure I have my son's numbers in front of me. Just so I can know what's going on. All right. Where were we? Oh, Christendom. Oh, yeah. And nowhere have the results been more important for the history of culture. At the heart of Dawson's provocative thesis, I don't know how provocative it is the insistence that Western European culture was the coming together of two cultures, two social traditions, and two spiritual worlds. The cultural formation of Europe combined the war society of the barbarian kingdom with its cult of heroism and aggression, leavened by the peace society of the Christian church with its ideals of asceticism and renunciation. Going to be a lot of that. And its high theological culture, arguably. The Crusades expressed the best and the worst of this synthesis. There were times when the fusion of warrior heroism and Christian virtue produced something noble and exemplary during the centuries-long effort. Now you can begin to get, okay, where is he going with this thing? During the centuries-long effort to reclaim the Holy Land. And there were times when the fusion failed and produced something ugly and lamentable. But even the failures teach us about the aspirational ideals of Christendom. We cannot understand the rise of Western culture without the religious unity imposed by the Christian church in the Middle Ages. And likewise, we cannot understand the flourishing of Christendom unless we understand that it grew up out of the soil of warrior kings and barbarian kingdoms. So essentially, how he's starting this off is like, hey guys, remember when we were fighting in the Crusades as Christians? And, you know, some of it was bad. Maybe other historians might say all of it, but, you know, there were good people on both sides. I don't know. I'm going to get so much in trouble for this stream. Oh, well, but basically the Crusades, you know, you have some aspirational ideas of, all right, well, you want to be heroic about the Christian faith. Now, obviously, that was distorted and manipulated by politics at the time, and you have these pseudo Christian nations acting as if possession of the Holy Land was like accomplishing the gospel outreach, like the Great Commission. So there's a lot of that he doesn't really get into it, but he's basically pitting up this idea of, you know, there's a time to fight and a time not to fight. And that as Christians, our history is that sometimes we need to fight. And that he's trying to say that there's something aspirational about that, that you have such a passion for Jesus. I think that's what he's trying to say, that you have a passion for Jesus, that you want to go out and combat the culture. Now, I think this is probably not the greatest way to start this argument, because once again, you're not talking about ideas. You're talking about physical. You're talking about warring with people because of their faith. Not because of land. That's part of it, you know, the Holy Land and whatnot. But mostly it's because of the faith that was attached to that, and controlling that meant, you know, somehow you accomplished the Great Commission. It's not a great place to start. But what he's trying to do is to say that there is a time to fight, and, you know, there's something idealistic about the passion that it takes to go at culture. All right, that's what he's trying to basically say, like, hey, these are good things. These are admirable things. All right, but let's continue. Which brings me to the reason that you are likely reading this article in the first place, of course. And that is the name. You weren't here for a whole bunch of talk about Dawson? What? No? Which brings me to the reason you are likely reading this article in the first place. And that is the name Doug Wilson in the title. Yeah. That's why you put it there. I you can't get mad at people for, like, I don't know if that's actually how he feels, if he's mad about it, but it kind of seems like he's being like, you guys came for Doug Wilson. It's like, well, you put him in the title. So what did you think about Doug Wilson is a question I've been asked many times during my years in pastoral ministry. Well, that's great. Would have been nice if we could have gotten an answer before now. I'd say the questioners have been pretty evenly split between I'm asking because I really like him, and I'm asking because I hope you don't like him, and I'm asking because I'm not sure what to think. So got these three different categories. And I think he's right. Like, there's a lot of people that ask me, you know, I don't know, sometimes like they stumble across a video and they haven't seen anything else that I've done about Doug Wilson. And so for some reason they think, oh, Dean might like this guy. It's like, well, like, look around my channel just a little bit. but yeah, these are honest questions that people would have. And coming from good camps too. Like, just because there are people within a camp who are asking, because, like, obviously here on this channel, unless you're a hate watcher, most likely we already have our minds made up about Doug Wilson, right? Like, you've been around the channel for a while. You know what we think. Either you agree or disagree, but you've come to a decision about where you're at with Doug Wilson. And so sometimes for us who are looking at Doug Wilson, and I've called him a heretic, others have called him a heretic, a whole denomination has called him a heretic. But like, I have my point of view, right? And like, maybe you agree with me. So you're looking at him and being like, how could anyone like Doug Wilson? And so if you are even asking that question, some people will put on all kinds of motives and say, like, well, you obviously either don't know yourself, you're ignorant, or, you know, you're a terrible person. And that's not necessarily the case. There are a lot of good people that get swept up in a movement, and maybe there is a little bit of ignorance. Like, they haven't looked into those details about the abuse cover-ups and things like that. Or they don't know what Federal Vision is. That's a huge thing right now. And it's too bad that someone as intelligent as Kevin DeYoung doesn't go at it, because I think he could do a lot of good had he actually gone at it. But that makes me kind of scared of where he actually stands on it, to be honest. But like, just because someone is asking this question, and maybe people who are here and you're honestly asking that question, you're like, what's wrong with this guy? Doesn't make you a terrible person. Doesn't make you not a Christian. Does mean that maybe you should look into some things. But I want that said, because a lot of people are being like, oh, how could you even ask? I think it's an important question to ask. Even now, I'd rather not be writing this piece because number one, it takes a lot of time. Okay. I'm not looking to get into a long drawn out debate with Wilson or his followers. Well, welcome to the internet, bud. And number three, I know a lot of good Christians who have been helped by Wilson and by the people and institutions in his orbit. I'm answering the question now in hopes that I might help those who appreciate some of what Wilson says, but also feels like something isn't quite right. By any measure, one has to marvel at the literary, digital, and institutional output that has come out of Moscow, Idaho. Totally agree. I've said this time and time again. You know, those media guys, the people in charge, I'm talking about the guys who do like the graphic design and film the videos and edit those things. They are busting their butts and they're doing a great job. It's just too bad that they don't have better content to work with. All right. But they put out a lot of stuff, and for a place as small as Moscow, Idaho, to everyone like knows that name, at least in Christian circles and in my circles, at least you hear Moscow, Idaho, and you immediately know the church that's attached, the leaders that are attached, Doug Wilson, namely being attached. And so like, that's, you accomplished something. You got your name out there. And the internet knows, like, the there's so many of them. While some internet cranks and are wannabes trying to make a name for themselves by trying to tear down what others have built up. I wonder what kind of people he could be talking about. Couldn't be anyone I know. Oh boy. Wilson is to be commended for establishing an ecosystem of schools, churches, media offerings, and publishing ventures. For a scholarly and fair assessment of what Wilson has tried to do in Moscow, I recommend Crawford Gribben's excellent book, blah, 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 blah. Wilson also deserves credit for being unafraid to take unpopular positions. So you see what he's doing. He is praising Wilson. Like, if you're going to have a harsh critique, I get, you know, trying to give someone their flowers before you rip those flowers out of their hands, right? you just want to be like kind and be like, hey, here's some good things about what this person has done. And wow, the impact that this person has had is kind of crazy given how small the ministry is and how limited, like, all of that goes. Like, there's something to that, you know, kind of building them up a little bit, but this is a little much. For unpopular positions. True, he often seems to enjoy stating his unpopular positions in the most unpopular ways. More on that later. But no one is going to accuse Wilson of being a spineless evangelifish. He offers the world, and to use that phrase, he offers the world and the church an angular, muscular. Guys, let's just pause for a minute and let's remember. You guys remember about a year and a half ago when everyone was talking about Christian nationalism as if it, like, this new thing was happening? And Kevin DeYoung wrote an article about Stephen Wolfe's book on Christian nationalism and how he kept on talking about, like, masculinity and patriarchy being great things. It's just not that form of patriarchy. This is essentially the same thing, except for substitute Stephen Wolfe with Doug Wilson. All right. An angular muscular. I don't know about you guys, but I don't really care how many muscles you got when it comes to your love for Jesus. I don't like a robust, maybe, like, okay. But to use this phrasing feels like placating to an audience. And I think that's the vast majority of what this article is. It's placating to the followers of Doug Wilson, because those followers are actually Kevin DeYoung followers. they run in the same camp. They're talking about the same things, which is mind-blowing when you start looking at the hate that Kevin DeYoung has gotten for this really, like, praising article for Wilson. Not much condemnation, to be honest. He offers the world and the church an angular, muscular, forthright Christianity in an age of compromise and defection. Deconstruction! I wonder how hard it was to not put that word in there. On top of that, Wilson has a family that loves him and loves Christ. Well, you know, this is where you start to go, but wait, isn't there like a claim that he is heretical? Isn't there? Oh, didn't a whole denomination declare the article, like the theological statement that him and others wrote together? Like, again, this isn't like, I ascribe to this thing that's established. He made something. They called it Federal Vision. There is a link in the description, a couple different links. There's a link down there to Theocast and their video about it, which is by far the best thing on the internet, I think, so far, on Federal Vision. And then there's my video, which isn't as good, but it's also there if you want to know more about Federal Vision. But he already got kicked out of his denomination for Federal Vision because they viewed it as heretical. The PCA, which Kevin DeYoung, I believe, is a part of, has declared it to be a dangerous theological framework. I don't think they went as far as saying it was heretical, but they have condemned it. For you to be like, oh, he loves Jesus and his whole family loves Jesus, even though him and his entire family, they promote this thing that is heretical, or at least this one denomination did, and it's been condemned by other denominations. And there's random guys like me on the internet hanging out in their basements talking about it too. That is sidestepping something. And when you sidestep something as big as heresy, like, there's not a lot else that you could talk about that isn't going to be affected by that. So he is basically saying he loves Jesus. And what that essentially is saying to the audience, to the people who are reading this, is that Doug Wilson is a Christian. But again, a claim of heresy has been brought and levied out by a denomination and, you know, claims from outside that denomination. So like, that's a pretty big issue to just be like, well, we're just going to call him a Christian, say he loves Jesus and his entire family loves Jesus, even though he promotes a heretical stance. Like, that to me says everything about what Kevin DeYoung thinks about Federal Vision. Like, he's going to say in a minute that he disagrees with it, or at least he has some issues with it, but obviously, he doesn't think it's heretical if he's like, he loves Jesus and his whole family loves Jesus. Because Kevin DeYoung is smart. If you read his books, which I've read many of them. Again, guys, like I've said this before, when we talked about the Stephen Wolfe criticism and biblical patriarchy and whatever with him, with Kevin DeYoung. Like, I love this guy's books. Like, what was that book, the emergent church or something, like why we're not emergent from two guys who should be, right? Like, that book, like, was life-changing for me. All right. Why we love the church from two guys who shouldn't, or whatever. I love that book. And so from then on, I just started buying all his books. And it wasn't until just a few years ago that I stopped, mostly because he just got way too scholarly for me of just like, okay, where are we going with this thing? Basically, after he wrote that book, a great book, by the way, about the Bible, like how to use the Bible. What is the Bible? Great starter book if you're a pastor and you want to show someone why they should value the Bible so much. I think like it's like His Word or In His Word or something like that. Great book. But after that, I was just basically out. But historically, I've really enjoyed Kevin DeYoung's books, his writings, his ministry. I've been very helped by it. So I don't come at this from an angle of Kevin DeYoung is the worst. All right. But when you sidestep something like this, it's a really big issue to me. And he just basically says, hey, he loves Jesus and his whole family loves Jesus. Moreover, Wilson understands that opposition to Christ, his word, his gospel, and his lordship is not to be taken lightly. Many Christians are witnessing the disintegration of our Western world. Again, with like these D words he's trying to put in here, you know, defection, disintegration. He just really wanted to say deconstruction, but he just didn't. Of our Western world and the Christian consensus that used to hold sway. And they are thinking to themselves, this is terrible. I can't believe this is happening. So the Christians with those concerns, and I count myself among them. Okay, so he has some concerns. Doug Wilson says, yes, it really is bad, and let's do something about it. So again, praising him. I'm convinced the appeal of Moscow is a visceral more than intellectual. I would agree with that part. That's not meant to be a knock on the smart people in Moscow or attracted to Moscow. Smart people. It is to say, however, that people are not mainly moving to Idaho because they now understand Revelation 20 in a different way, or because they did a deep word study on Te'etne in the Great Commission, or even because of a well-thought-out political philosophy of Christian nationalism. I agree with him on this. This is basically Kevin DeYoung saying, people aren't coming to Doug Wilson for the theology. They're saying that they're coming to Doug Wilson for the theology, but they're coming because it's Doug Wilson, because they like Doug Wilson, because, you know, he's bold and he's brash about these things. And Kevin DeYoung, with his kind of warped view of like this Christian heroism thing of the Crusades and how it's like idealistic in some ways to be combating culture in that way, which I don't really see in scripture. But he's saying like, hey, these are kind of good things to be looking for. You could see that there's some admiration from Kevin DeYoung about those aspects of Doug Wilson. But I do think he's right that people are coming because it's Doug Wilson, not because they're agreeing with the theology. Those things matter to Wilson and his followers, but I believe postmillennialism and Christian nationalism are lagging indicators, not leading indicators. That is, people come to those particular intellectual convictions because they were first attracted to the cultural aesthetic and the political posture that Wilson so skillfully embodies. In short, people are moving to Moscow, whether literally or spiritually, because of a mood. It's a mood that says we are not giving up and we are not giving in. We can do better and negotiate the terms of our surrender than negotiate the terms of our surrender. The infidels have taken over our Christian laws, our Christian heritage, and our Christian lands, and we are coming to take them back. I think he's right. Now, why he's talking about it as like a positive, I don't know. That kind of scares me for where Kevin DeYoung is on his like own stuff about this. But hey, guys, I'm just going to say 35 people watching right now. I know it's a different time and everything, but we got 13 likes. If you like the channel, if you like me talking about this kind of content, do me a favor and hit the like button, because there are going to be plenty of people who are going to hit the dislike button later. All right. All right. So this is what he's talking about. The mood, so like basically the attitude of everyone associated with Moscow. And so where the mood misfires. So he's praised it so far, but here's where the issues start to come into play. And yet for all that is understandable and sometimes commendable about the Moscow mood, there are also serious problems. In my criticisms that follow, I'm not going to focus on historical or theological disagreements. I may have. Not that I do have. That's a big word. Little word, but a big difference. All right? I may have with Wilson. Maybe I do. Maybe I don't. I may have with Wilson. I won't be touching on federal vision. And this is where the article falls apart. Like before, you're like, why is he being so positive? Why is he being so positive about Wilson? Why is he giving some, you know, like, give him his flowers, sure, for building something that's commendable. You know, you worked really hard and you made a name for yourself. Good for you, bud. But why is he giving him so many flowers? Well, he's doing that because he doesn't want to talk about federal vision. He's a theologian. He's a professor at Reformed Theological Seminary. If anyone is qualified to be talking about this, he's far more qualified than me hanging out with my, you know, buddies in a basement. Like, you could talk about these things, but I won't be touching on federal vision. This is cowardly. This is just straight up cowardly. Guys, when theologians care more about your mood than they do your theology, there's something incredibly wrong with that theologian. Like, and to act as though, like, you're basically going about talking about everything with Moscow and you're focusing on the effects rather than the cause. Like, if federal vision is heretical, and I'm going to use that if as if he's thinking about these things, if federal vision is heretical, that means that these people who espouse it don't have justification. And if they don't have justification by faith alone, then there can't be sanctification. Right? Like, that's basic. That's basic theology, right? Like, if you're not saved, then how can the Holy Spirit be working in you? Right? How can he be sanctifying you? How could he be changing you, transforming you, conforming you, to use Paul's words, conforming you to the image of Christ? How can that happen if you're not saved? All right, so what he's trying to do is, like, he's going at the mood, like the effects of something, rather than going to the cause. Now, to me, that means that Kevin DeYoung doesn't think that federal vision is radical, that he does consider Doug Wilson a Christian, and he says that several times in this article. And I think it's very cowardly for him to say that, but not dive into why. Like, Kevin, if you watch this, because you're on the internet, you have your own thing now, and you probably care quite a bit about what people are going to be saying about this article, you need to have a follow-up article where you dive into federal vision and explain your reasonings for calling Doug Wilson a brother in Christ, for actually going into the details of this, because you saying, oh, I'm not going to deal with that, I'm going to actually deal with, like, you know, his sanctification. Like, that's inferring that there is justification. That's inferring that federal vision is right, or at least not wrong enough to be outside the bounds of orthodoxy, not like the denomination that kicked him out, or like so many have said here online. And I just view it very cowardly, and it kind of defeats the whole point. If you're not going to deal with federal vision when you talk about Doug Wilson, then, like, why are you even here? Like, you're just here, like, honestly, like, I could look at this article and go, like, all right, well, I'm sure he has some concerns about, like, the potty language, all right, that Doug Wilson uses. All right, but, like, why are you going and writing an article about potty language? Like, what's the big deal there? Like, or maybe you're in it for clicks. You know, I get accused of this all the time, of, like, oh, you're in it for clicks. Oh, you know, you're talking about Doug Wilson for clicks. Yeah, that's why. I really love just having a whole bunch of people send me nasty messages or call me all kinds of names or make fun of my weight or talk about me being a bearded Karen, you know, like, that's super fun. I love it. It's my favorite. It's the best. No. All right. Like, I don't do that, but I'm looking at this and going, like, what the heck is your even point if you're not even going to be dealing with federal vision at all? Like, that's the biggest issue. It's the biggest issue that anyone has with Doug Wilson, or at least anyone of importance, anyone who thinks through these things. And again, Kevin DeYoung is very important, and he thinks through a lot of things. So I just don't understand why I'm not going to focus on historical or theological disagreements I may have with Wilson. I won't be touching on federal vision or paedo communion. Nobody cares. That's just such a Presbyterian thing, paedo communion. Or his views on the antebellum South. People care about that one. Not going to touch on it. Or his arguments for Christian nationalism. Important. Not going to talk about it. Or his particular brand of postmillennialism. Also important. Not going to talk about it. My concerns are not so much. I think that's kind of revealing too. My concerns are not so much with one or two conclusions that Christians may reach if Wilson becomes their intellectual mentor. My bigger concern is with the long-term spiritual effects of admiring and imitating the Moscow mood. For the mood attracts people to Moscow, is too often incompatible with Christian virtue, inconsiderate of other Christians, and ultimately inconsistent with the stated aims of Wilson's Christendom project. And maybe there's a root cause for that. Maybe if you don't have the gospel right, you're not going to be able to live out a gospel culture. Shocker. Am I crazy? What is this?
Like, what's wrong with you people?
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
It's just like these things go hand in hand, but no. All right, let's keep on going. Rather than expounding these claims in abstract terms, let's look at a couple of concrete examples. All right, let's look at these things. 5 years ago, Doug Wilson and Canon Press stated something they started something they call No Quarter November. The idea is that during November, in addition to giving away free resources, Wilson and his crew will show no mercy, give no quarter to their enemies. Each year in advance of NQN, Wilson puts out a promotional video. They always involve a good deal of fire and more than a little sarcasm. I'm fine with the fire. I gotta say that. I'm fine with the fire. I'm fine with the sarcasm. What I'm not fine with is the theology that's attached. But he's all about the way you present yourself, the way you're doing these things. And, you know, he goes into what he said in this video and blah, 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 blah. First, it strikes a tone that is deliberately sarcastic and just a little bit naughty. Oh, man. I'm going to laugh and cough up a lung today. A little bit naughty. No one really thinks Wilson is timid and cautious the rest of the year. That's true. That's the sarcasm. The naughty part is that Wilson uses the word wussy and wuss, adolescent slang for someone weak and effeminate. Okay, that's all right. Those are the issues. These are words most Christian parents don't allow their kids to use. All right. Christian parents, all right, if you're here, hop into the chat and let me know, would you be okay? Let's take an example of your 9-year-old and say, are they allowed to say wuss? What is this? Is wuss a cuss word? What? Star123 says, do you think Kevin DeYoung agrees with Wilson's federal vision? My conclusion based off of this, based off the fact that he calls himself or he calls Doug Wilson a Christian several times in this, is that he doesn't believe it's heretical. But I don't think that necessarily means that he affirms it. I just think he probably has disagreements with it, because honestly, you got to be a little out there to hold to federal vision. And I don't think that Kevin DeYoung would do that. But why he's not saying that he firmly disagrees with it is concerning. So I'm not going to put words into Kevin DeYoung's mouth of what he actually believes about it, but I think it's clear from his own words that he doesn't think it's heresy, because he calls Doug Wilson a Christian several times and treats him like a Christian and acts like there should be implications from Doug Wilson's justification. So that's assuming that he's a Christian. So I think that's clear, but I don't know. But I am concerned why he doesn't say so. Second, the video takes cheap shots at other Christians. Wilson's sarcastic bite is not first directed toward the wicked, the hard-hearted, or the forces of evil in our world. He takes a swipe at the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission and at the G3 conference. Both are conservative Baptist groups. We might add that would be on the same side as Wilson in almost every important cultural battle. I think that's correct. It's fine if Wilson wants to disagree with these groups. They've disagreed with him at times, but Wilson doesn't mention them in the video in order to make a serious argument. He uses them for a punchline. If you like Wilson, are you supposed to think, oh no, he didn't, that's hilarious? And if you like the ERLC or G3, you are supposed to be triggered, because if Moscow can watch their opponents get triggered, that is also funny. That's so true. Basically, that's what they do. Right. They put in these and they're not good jokes. All right. I'm not a comedic genius or anything. I think my Ken Ham stuff is kind of funny. I think so. You might be that's the dumbest thing ever, but I think it's kind of funny. I think I know my way around humor a little bit. Not a genius or anything, but not an expert. But that's what he's trying to do. He's basically just using it. Here's the word. It's like Mad Libs humor, where you just throw in G3 and who else do we not like? Oh, feminism. we just throw in these words and that's how we do humor. Nah, I don't think so. I don't think that's really funny, but I'm sure these people are I think he is right about that. When serious criticism is leveled at Moscow, the response often includes a smattering of mockery and memes. Yes. It's almost like there's no sanctification. Okay. This isn't Wilson using his famous serrated edge to make a prophetic point against a godless culture. The implication is that he's done that before, so he is prophetic. This is intentionally making fun of other Christians for a quick chuckle. He worked chuckle in there. Third, the point of NQN is explicitly about culture warring and culture building. Rightly understood, it is good to do both these things. It is instructive to see that Wilson's stated aim is to help your apocalypse proof your home. I think it's safe to say this is what Wilson aims to do, not just in November, in an intensified fashion, but during the other 11 months of the year. I've said that. Like, there's nothing new about No Quarter November, actually, this last November. Other than having, like, the Wilson fanboys come at me. Because some coward put, at Canon Press, and, like, they decided to send me a whole bunch of nasty messages all day. No Quarter November is the same thing. It's the same thing that he's always doing. Honestly, if anything, this really helped Doug Wilson because, like, looking at his stuff, nothing worked. You know, like, he had the video of the fire and burning Elsa, but he hasn't talked about Disney. You know, burning down Instagram. I don't think he's talked about Instagram. Like, I don't watch everything. You know, I've been checking in, you know, seeing, you know, who he's talking about. He talked about Anthony Bradley. Like, you know, like, he goes at some people, but, like, there's been nothing like, oh, this is going to shake the internet or shake Christian internet. Like, nothing like that. And so I think this is probably, if anything, helping him by giving him something to talk about and being like, oh, we got one of the big ones. I bet you there were so many high fives going on over at Moscow when this article dropped. I was just like, oh, yeah, we can end November with this video. And everyone's going to want to know, what is Doug Wilson going to say in retaliation? How is he going to deal with this criticism from Kevin DeYoung? I mean, he's Kevin DeYoung, which is also shocking. Kevin DeYoung has like 100,000 followers on Twitter. I know I say this every time Kevin DeYoung comes up, but it is sneaky how, like, huge this guy is in his ministry is and his influence is. It's crazy. And that's also, like, the thing that's probably, like, the most disappointing, because what I realized from this, I tweeted this, all it would take is one guy. One guy from, like, the big Eva, I mean, like, the movers and the shakers. I'm talking about Kevin DeYoung, Mark Dever, John Piper, you know, obviously, like, John MacArthur in that world, I think, would also do it. But, like, all it would take is one of those guys to stand up and be like, Doug Wilson is a heretic, and everything would be over. Like, that's it. Like, the amount of, like, attention this article got is insane for how fluffy it is. All right, how like, kid gloves it is. Like, there's nothing, like, really pointed. This is, everything is dealt with, like, are you okay? I'm going to talk about this. Are you okay? Are you okay as we talk about that? I don't want to offend, you know, like, it's like that. And it's just like, if it was just one of these guys would come out and be bold and just be like, these guys are heretics. Like, Federal Vision is heresy. All the pain would be over. Like, it would be like going back to Star Wars. It would be like in Return of the Jedi when the Emperor dies. I'm not saying, like, Kevin, like, there's no correlation between what should happen, other than, like, the celebration on Coruscant and, like, the statue comes down and everyone, like, they're singing, like, the Nub Nub song or whatever on Endor, like, all that celebration. That's what online Christianity would be like. And nope, we're just not going to. Because we're more concerned about the mood than we are about theology. And I think that there's part of it that's just, I think there's part of it that's just, there's a fear. There's a fear of what could happen if they go harder against Moscow. And I think that's why this article is so fluffy. And it's filled with all, like, this praise for Wilson and a few condemnations. But That's basically where I'm at with this thing. Let's try to finish it up. I got some stuff going on today, so this is why we're doing it early in the morning. It's still 48 of you. What is going on? All right, like, That's crazy. All right. We didn't do it on the right day. We didn't do it at the right time. And you're still coming in and hanging out and showing up. Hit the like button while you're here, guys. All right. Let's keep on going. Fourth, the video is squarely focused on Wilson himself. This, I think, is probably his best criticism. Fourth, the video is squarely focused on Wilson himself. On one level, this is not surprising. Christian institutions and organizations often use their founder, president, or leading voice as the face of the ministry. Yeah, like you started clearly reformed. But the focus here is not on Wilson as a conduit of biblical teaching and doctrinal truth, or even as the instrument of helpful cultural analysis, or the Christian prince. The focus is on Wilson himself. Wilson as a rebel. Wilson as a gunslinger. Wilson as taboo-breaking cigar smoker. Wilson as the courageous hero we need in a crazy world like ours. No Quarter November is selling a carefully cultivated personality and image. Wilson's personality and Wilson's image. Yeah, agreed. Agreed. I firmly agree with that criticism that it's basically just all about him. But that's also the selling point, right? Like that's what DeYoung pointed out earlier. That's the selling point. And so you want to put your selling point forward. That's just marketing, right? Like good marketing is saying, here's the best thing we have. And you guys should, you should want the best thing that we have. And so they're saying, hey, this is the most alluring thing we have. It's Doug Wilson. It's Doug Wilson and his attitude and, you know, ooh, cigars and, oh, he's not scared of no fire, you know, like all that stuff. Like, and that's the most alluring thing for specifically young men. And that's their audience that they want, right? So, but yes, it is pride. It's just focusing on him as a person and saying, like, you should really just value this man. But what I think he fails to do is, like, to bring that home of, like, is, like, he is saying, like, that's bad, but why would they do that? Like, why would they be focused? Like, that's good secular marketing, right? But that's not good Christian marketing. Like, good Christian marketing is, here's Jesus. Jesus is the best thing that we have. So let's show him Jesus. And, like, he's saying, like, yeah, it should be that way. Like, it should be, like, of him giving out that biblical truth. So maybe you do have him as a face, but it's really focused on what does he deliver, which is the gospel message, which Wilson doesn't. But, like, that should be where things are going in a Christian marketing perspective. But why aren't they doing it that way? Could it be that they don't have a gospel culture? Could it be that they don't actually have gospel doctrine? So they can't. Like they don't have, like, here's Jesus, because that's not selling for them. Like that's, they don't do that better than, you know, I don't know, pick out somebody. Emmanuel Nashville Church, who's building up a little collective of their own theologians. And, you know, Gavin Ortland just went over there. Like they have the gospel and they could show the gospel to you. They can't do that. They can't compete with people like that, but they can compete when it comes to politics, when it comes to being cool, which in the Christian world is not hard. Like, guys, there are plenty of people on the internet that think I'm cool. What's wrong with you? Like what? Because I wear Vans hats and have a beard. It's not hard in the Christian world to look like you're cool. All right. All right. Setting things on fire as the world burns. And he just goes into some of these videos. And then he starts getting into, ooh, that, like, they talk about some nasty words. Oh, man. There's a lot of words that they say. I mean, it is kind of funny. All right. Some of these are like kind of ridiculous that he put asterisks in there. But there's other words that you're just like, wait, he said this? And yeah, he said all of these. And not just like, oh, he says it behind closed doors. Like he says it in videos and speaking from the pulpit. Like he uses some words like this. So that's, yeah, it's pretty concerning. So I don't, like, people are getting, like, on the really conservative side, they're looking at him and being like, I can't believe he makes such a big deal about all this stuff, like these, you know, these words. And while I agree that this should not be, like, the primary thing, they're still bad. Like, they are bad. But why? Why would he feel comfortable using words like this. And honestly, some of the attitudes that, like, I mean, if you look at these words, mostly it's about women and body parts. Like, why would someone feel so comfortable talking about women in this way? Why would they feel so comfortable using words to describe women in that way? Could it be there's no filter of the Holy Spirit? Now, I'm not saying anyone who uses these words doesn't have the Holy Spirit, but I'm just saying, like, could it be? Like, it's messed up. Now, you know, like, that's just being, like, some of it is also just, you know, he's a very conservative guy. Obviously, he thinks wuss is a cuss word, which I did see someone say, like, it's a minced oath or something like that. But, you know, like, maybe there's some people out there that do think of it. But I think the vast majority of people wouldn't look at wuss and say, like, that's a cuss word. But Kevin DeYoung does. So, like, I think that kind of shows, like, where he's at with some of the, like, the word choice here. But that's the big thing. That's the big thing. It's his choice of words and his focus on his self. But here's where he lands things. Let's read these last three paragraphs. Wilson knows how to strike that tone. Wise, gracious, resolute, and I dare say winsome. There can only be one. One can only conclude that he prefers to write in a different way. Wilson can keep all the good stuff on classical Christian education, all the helpful material on family formation, all the countercultural advice on being old school men and women. He could explain the Bible. He could highlight heroes from church history. He could blog about the great books. He could do everything that I do. He could work to maximize what he shares in common with other conservative Christian leaders and networks. Christians could be drawn to Wilson because he shows them more of Christ rather than more of Christendom. That's one viable approach. So he's basically saying, hey, here's where to go. But he would have to dial back, way back, the sarcasm. He would have to decrease so that Christ can increase. In other words, Christ is present, but he just needs to increase there. He would have to press pause on the perpetual pot stirring. He would have to cultivate a depth of intellectual exploration that is more lasting and ultimately more helpful than a surface level spray into the controversy du jour. Ooh. He would have to refrain from keeping his pointer finger permanently extended in search of eyes to poke. He could try to be, that's a pretty great line. I got to say, I make fun of Kevin DeYoung for some of the words that he uses, but that's a pretty baller line. He could try to be an evangelical statesman or lean into his role as a seasoned mentor to younger Christians, especially men who don't need permission to be brawlers as much as they need a godly role model to emulate and a spiritual father to correct their youthful excesses. He could use the eighth decade of his life to devote his considerable writing to talents. I've read some of Doug Wilson's books, like, yes, his blogs, but also his books. I've read some of them. And it's just metaphor after metaphor and stopping a metaphor in the middle of another metaphor to show another metaphor. All the metaphors. And it's just, what's happening right now? You get like 30 metaphors on one page. All right, he could use the eighth, or yeah, I already read that part, to passing on the Reformed faith and to offering a deep, penetrating cultural analysis. I believe he could do all of this if he wanted to. Or he can pepper his writing with naughty words, play with blowtorches, and make fun of Southern Baptists. That's the other option. It will be hard to take both approaches at the same time. Basically, why couldn't he? Why couldn't he just go to the gospel? Like, well, the implication there is that he already has the gospel. Like, he has the gospel, and he just needs to focus more on it. So once again, it's Kevin DeYoung not wanting to deal with federal vision that is, like, the main issue of this thing. And once again, I view that as cowardly. Once again, I'm not going to, like, try to figure out his motives for why he's not doing that. But I think there are some definite things that could be part of it, right? Like, there's an overlapping audience. Anyone with, you know, eyes to see online can see that. Like, there's an overlapping audience between Doug Wilson and Kevin DeYoung. Maybe that's part of it. You know, there's reasons why maybe he agrees with it, at least in part. Maybe he doesn't want all the hate that would come from condemning it. There's a lot of different things that it could be, but we don't know because Kevin DeYoung didn't write it. So I think Kevin DeYoung should. Not just should. I think if we're to take Kevin DeYoung seriously as a theologian moving forward, I think that he needs to. I think that he needs to write, like, he could write in depth, go scholarly, and, you know, focus on what he's good at and writing theology and deal with federal vision. Make a case for it. If that's what he thinks. If he thinks it's not heresy, then he should make a case for that and why he's treating Doug Wilson like a brother. But, like, let's be clear. This was not, you know, oh, what? How is Doug Wilson going to be able to recover from this? Guys, he's already recovered. Like, look at this thing. Kevin DeYoung has written a thoughtful critique of the Moscow mood. This is the kind of feedback and pushback that we should welcome. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to make a video on Monday about it. And everyone's going to be like, ooh, what's he going to say? He's going to get clicks and he's just going to further his thing. Because it's so easy to talk about, oh, well, it's subjective. Words, potty words are subjective, right? Tons of Christians have different points of view about which words are appropriate for a Christian to use, right? Like, because it's debatable. That's something that he could do and be like, all right, well, you know, mood is debatable too. Like, you might be judging motives if you're interpreting our mood that way, right? What Kevin DeYoung did was put everything into the subjective. Like, potty words, mood, attitude, rather than in the objective, which is theology. And had he done that, I guarantee you, if he had condemned objectively Doug Wilson's theology, Doug Wilson wouldn't be able to profit from it. I think it would have been a pretty big detriment to what Doug Wilson is trying to accomplish. But that's not what Kevin DeYoung wanted to talk about. And so Doug Wilson is going to take this and he's going to ride this thing. And it's just going to be something that he's going to use to his advantage, which is a huge failure. And honestly, once again, this is just me just frustrated with the gatekeepers. The gatekeepers like the Gospel Coalition. Kevin DeYoung is a huge part of the Gospel Coalition, although there has been a little bit of separation over the last year or so and starting his own thing. So maybe he's not firmly there, but historically, he's been very much associated with the Gospel Coalition. But the gatekeepers, where are they? Why aren't they saying things? You know, all these big shots that we've trusted for so long, that we bought all their books, their resources, that we gave to them on Giving Tuesday. You can go onto my Twitter for a lot of my thoughts about that stuff. But it's just, why don't you say things? You could help. You could help, but you just don't? Like, I don't know why you don't. If you disagree with me, with others, with that denomination that kicked out Doug Wilson for his federal vision, then say that. Like, just say that and say, I don't think federal vision is heretical. Just say that so we know. But to be like, oh, it's not a big deal. Let's talk about the big deal, which is he said, I won't say it on here. He said, B-O-O-B. Oh, that's the biggest issue. No, it's not. Like, you can argue about that and, you know, be like whether it's appropriate or not for a Christian to use that word. There's debate. Like, you might be wrong or right about that debate, but you could debate. Justification by faith alone is a core tenet of our faith. And where are the gatekeepers to say, hey, this is a big deal? So maybe we should do some articles about this and really investigate how this guy with a huge following online is even a Christian. Like, is he a Christian? Why don't we have people talking about that? Instead, we have the Gospel Coalition who's platformed him in the past. We have John Piper who's platformed him in the past. We have Mark Driscoll who platformed him in the past. And now we have Kevin DeYoung who's platforming him while saying he uses nasty words. But make no mistake about it, this article was helpful for Moscow, and it sucks. So Kevin DeYoung, that was really disappointing. Very disappointing, but you know, we'll see what happens from it. Maybe a dialogue can happen. Maybe on Monday, Doug Wilson will drop his video and, then, you know, Kevin DeYoung will respond with, actually, maybe we should talk about federal vision. I'm not saying that's outside the realm of possibility, but I don't see it happening anytime soon. Let's see what you guys are saying. Jeremy says, this is pathetic, just frustrating. I think I agree. Not, I think I agree. I do agree. Let's see. Mark says, I think even if KD would have come full guns, DW would have spun it for his own profit. Yeah, I think that there's a little bit of just like marketing know-how. There's a difference in understanding how to market well between these two. Like, no offense to Kevin DeYoung, but he doesn't know how to market himself. Even though, like, he's huge. I think that's more about, like, Crossway and TGC and putting him out there rather than his own stuff. But we'll see. Maybe he figures that out with his website. One Girl Army says they're endorsing his theology, but only criticizing his language, basically. Scarlett says, that's the problem. There's no debate about FV, so if anyone speaks up, they put their entire platform on the line. But shouldn't we? Like, yeah, I agree. But shouldn't we? Like, shouldn't we be willing to do that? It's the gospel. Shouldn't we be willing to put our platform on the line for the gospel? Like, to make sure that it's clear for people? Like, okay, you go from 100,000 followers on Kevin DeYoung's Twitter to 80. You still made the gospel pretty clear. That's a win, right? I think it's worth it. Mark says, Skate, you're right. They either refuse to see sin in their own camp or endorse the sin. Where does Skate say something? Yeah, the MacArthur crew doesn't even deal with the wolves in their own shirts. It's no wonder they don't police the Doug Wilson camp. That's true. Dark Smurf says, I was using Minsto sarcastically by identifying the word that any given word minces you can control and scold anyone. Example, gosh, it's just taking God's name in vain. Yeah, agreed. Good to see you here, by the way, Dark Smurf. But yeah. See, Jamie says, the MacArthur crew can't deal with the wolves because they are wolves. None of them follow Christ. They follow the same traditions as the Pharisees did. They want to be in control of everything. I don't know if I'd agree with all that, Jamie, but I do think that there's definitely people there who are out for their own goals. Tyler says, bro, KD won't go at DW because he doesn't want to lose money. I don't know. I just find it very frustrating that he just doesn't. And that sucks. D. McKay says, does DeYoung agree with Piper on final justification? I don't know. Maybe he does. Because final justification is kind of right over there by Federal Vision. So maybe there's something to that. Maybe there is. Tim says, but that would require sacrificing everything, and that's not biblical. Oh, wait, it totally is. And Skate says, Federal Vision is a real problem, but the big agenda in these camps is their political movement. Anything is okay if it's done in service of that. Seems like it. All right. We don't have time to do everything else today, but let's try and quickly make our way over to the penalty box.
You want to see a penalty? I'll show you a real penalty. Get out of my face, man.
All right. Let's deal with some stuff. All right. Announcement. I don't know what else I was going to say. but announcement that if you come at me on Twitter, I'm going to put you in the penalty box now. Like, I'm just getting tired. I'm getting tired of all the Twitter hate. And so actually, I've seen it be helpful. Like, people don't, like, there are some people who want to be in the penalty box. They're like, made it. I'm convinced there are people who make accounts, come back in and say similar stuff just to get in here. But there are a lot of people, I think, that have stopped because of the penalty box. And so I'm going to start using it with my Twitter and having fun with it, making fun of people who are just really, really mean and jerky. All right, here we go.
2 minute minor trip. And there's a call.
This wasn't so mean and jerky as more of just like, I don't understand this. Maybe you could help me. All right. Lois, who I think has watched some of the videos, she came at me on Twitter for using the word crap. All right. And apparently my use of the word crap means this. It gives me the impression that you are in it for the clicks while using filthy language, which makes almost no different than DW cult guys. I mean, I don't think, maybe I should look back through the Kevin DeYoung article, but I don't think even him put CR asterisk P. But, all right. They're all about the clicks and talking filthy. Apparently so am I, because I said the word crap. Well, welcome to the penalty box, Lois. Let's go.
There's the whistle. There's no excuse there. He knows that whistle's been blown.
All right. I had a lot of fun on Twitter. By the way, you should follow me at Dean Lentini. I have a lot of fun over there when stuff like this happens, especially when I've lost my voice and I can't stream. Head over there and you can probably get most of my thoughts. But the fact that all these Moscow fanboys are mad about DeYoung's harsh, these are words I saw from people in that world, harsh and uncharitable critique shows who the real snowflakes are. Put your big boy pants on. And Crossing Swords said, an effeminate Karen with a beard. How dare you, sir? How dare you? I then tweeted, like, this effeminate Karen is going to watch Little Women, because I wanted to watch Little Women. It's one of my favorite movies. But, thanks for that, Crossing Swords. Welcome to the penalty box. What's up?
2 minutes for slashing and 2 minutes for roughing.
This one was interesting. So this is the Andy Stanley has gone too far when it comes to gender stuff. I'll just put it that way. Joseph Russo says, dude, shut up. You are no more committed to your Jesus. You look more committed to Little Debbie than your Jesus. Hypocrite, please. So these next two are ones I'm just showing. A lot of times, like, these go into a filter and I just delete them. But sometimes I want to show you, because I do talk about, you know, like, some of the hate that I get. And this is pretty much what those kind of comments are. I love you hypocrites that think you are the warriors of your God by standing on the anti-scriptures. Your Jesus said in two different books that he who gets divorced and remarried commits adultery. He who marries someone who is divorced also commits adultery. When is the last time any of you hypocrites stood on those Jesus words? That's what I thought. Maybe most churches. Like, I don't know any Baptist church that doesn't take, you know, divorce seriously. But okay. Little Debbie. Okay.
The following play is under review for a major or match penalty.
So this is once again like the Mark Driscoll pushing thing, and this is, I get stuff like this quite a bit from that camp, which also shows, I think, the maturity. Same thing with the Doug Wilson people. Basically the same thing. I bet there's still quite a bit of overlap between those circles of Mark Driscoll and Doug Wilson fanboys. But John Wicks, pencils? I don't know. Might be better. Okay. This is such a whack take. Get over yourself. Well, I try, you know, I'm so sorry. Apparently asking people to like be kind and compassionate. What a dumb thing I did. Like, maybe pushing over victims is a bad thing. What? So shocking. So shocking. I just realized I got double the tea today. It's one of those kinds of days. Guys, that's it for the show today. You know, I appreciate people coming over and hanging out on a Wednesday. Still so weird. Weird timing. I know it. But thanks for hanging out. If you could do me a favor, if you like this stuff, hit the like button. Maybe you're like, I don't really like the penalty box, so I'm not going to do it. Forgive me. Forgive me. And hit the like button. And if you like the fact that I'm talking about this stuff so publicly, hit the like button. Think about subscribing to the channel. And I don't know, you know, give. It was Giving Tuesday yesterday. So give to me by hitting the like button and subscribing. And maybe the notification bell, because apparently I don't know what time to stream. It's random days and it's random times. And so you got to hit that notification bell so you get to be told, Dean decided to stream 5 minutes ago and he's going to, you know, just wing it. And hopefully it's going to work out. So you might want to check it out. Like John, I got here in time to hear you say, that's it. story of my life. All right. let's see. What else do you guys say? Oh, Tim, Is effeminate the new insult? I don't know. I just get called it a lot. But, you know, usually these are from anonymous accounts, so I think there might be something to that. Wow, the Twitter people are mean. Oh, that's some of the better stuff. So I think we'll have, you know, like all the cussing stuff, basically. I just show sometimes, but most of that stuff gets like just chucked out. But there's some fun stuff I think we'll be able to bring over from Twitter. So we're going to have some fun with it. I mean, crap is technically filth. Technically. All right. Thanks for hanging out, guys. I will be back someday. Definitely on Monday. Not going to do it on Wednesday. Not going to do it on Wednesday next week. I'm going to do it on Monday because that's the right day. That's the right day and the right time. Catch me next time on the same bat day, same bat channel, same bat time. That's the word. All right. We're done. It's over.